I'm Tom Hoos from Earlton, New York, and I'm listening to WGXC Acra, New York.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show. Today we're going to hear from Elena Sayanko, the executive and artistic director at PS21 in Chatham, about what they are up to this summer. We'll also hear the national headlines from the Public News Service and the local Better Weather from the Catskill Maker Syndicate, and radio news about radio stations on Channel 6 television. On the WGXC Morning Show, it all begins after the local news, which is next. Stay tuned.
This is the network, network. On air, in air, waves controlled. On air, in air, channel connection. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. This is the network, network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network. Network. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network.
On June 17th, three bands come to Tubby's in Kingston. First E, the trio of Jason Sidney Sanford, Thaddeus Zedek, and Gavin McCarthy play rock music. Alive Skull, the renowned 1980s post-punk experimental rock band, is back together and are playing on this show with Upper Wilds, who record for Thrill Jockey and feature multi-instrumentalist songwriter Dan Friel, who's best known for his work in the band Parts and Labor. E, Live Skull, and Upper Wilds play at Tubby's in Kingston June 17th, and you can find out more about this show and many others on the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org.
Do you have 17 cents a day to support a platform for many diverse voices to have their say on the local airwaves? Just 17 cents a day, a monthly $5 recurring donation, can help keep local youth on the air at WGXC 90.7 FM. Your monthly sustaining support will keep the airwaves full of music from around the world and around the corner. WGXC needs 500 sustaining supporters to make sure there is one spot on the dial where the community can have access to its own airwaves. Make your pledge today at wgxc.org/donate and do your part to protect an important source of local news, information, and entertainment. With just 17 cents a day, you will do your part to protect your favorite frequency. Become a sustaining supporter today. Go to wgxc.org/donate now.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of the Bridge Street Theater in Catskill, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at wgxc.org for more information about anything you hear here. Mid-Hudson News reports that Hudson resident Asun O. Zotik, 30, has announced their intention to be the nation's first openly transgender non-binary congressional candidate for the new New York 19 congressional district, unquote. In a statement, Zotik said, quote, I am running for U.S. Congress because, as a strong, transformative community artist leader who is neither man nor woman, I embody the unity that this country needs right now, unquote. They praised current U.S. Representative Antonio Delgado, who is stepping down to become the state's lieutenant governor. Zotik is a teacher, community leader, and PhD candidate. Zotik has served as the director of Alt Hudson since February. They were a write-in candidate in the recent Hudson School Board election. Zotik finished sixth in the field of six candidates. Read more about this story at MidHudsonNews.com.
Noah Eckstein reports for Columbia Green Media that on May 31st, Hudson's Common Council holds a special meeting to vote on changing the city's ward boundaries. In February, a legal committee voted unanimously to recommend the, and I quote, lease change, end quote, option for ward reappointment in the annual update of the ward boundaries. Under the proposal, 75 residents from the first ward moved to the third ward, and 40 residents from the third ward switched to the fourth ward. If voters approve in a November referendum, the changes would go into effect on January 1st, 2023. Common Council President Thomas DiPietro said, and I quote, the point is that some people are going to wake up and find out they are in a new ward. I don't know if that is a big deal or not, end quote. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com.
Steuben County Supreme Court Judge Patrick McAllister on May 20th approved congressional and state senate maps drawn up by a court-appointed expert after a few changes to the maps released earlier in the week. There are now four different congressional districts for the Upper Hudson Valley. The biggest change locally to the final maps is that Rensselaer County has moved from the Capital District's 20th district to Representative Elise Stefanik's North Country District, the 21st. The 20th district loses Rensselaer County and gains Saratoga Springs on the new maps. But Amsterdam, where current 20th district Congressperson Paul Tonko lives, was kept out of his own district. But he says he will still run for re-election there in a rematch against Republican Liz Joy. The other big change locally, the Daily Freeman reports, is that Ulster County is still split between the 19th and 18th congressional districts. But the city of Kingston will now lie entirely within the newly formed 18th congressional district, while the town of Warworthing and Ellenville will now be split between the 18th and the newly formed 19th district. Current Ulster County Executive Pat Ryan, a Democrat, faces Republican Assemblyperson Colin Schmidt in the 18th district election in November. But first, Ryan is running in the 19th congressional district special election to replace Antonio Delgado, who is expected to resign soon to become lieutenant governor. Ryan will face Republican Dutchess County Executive in Mark Molinaro in that special election. Then Molinaro will be in the general election for the 19th congressional district against either Jamie Cheney, a Democrat from Rhinebeck, or political newcomer Josh Riley of Ithaca, or Hudson resident Austin Zotik.
Nick Reisman reports for State of Politics that the unemployment rate continues to fall in New York. The State Department of Labor announced May 19th that in April, unemployment fell from 4.6% to 4.5%. New York added 23,600 jobs in the private sector in April, a 0.3% increase. Last April, New York's unemployment rate was much worse, at 7.7%. But the state is still not as employed as the rest of the country, where there is a national 3.6% unemployment rate. If you remove New York City, though, the state's rate is much better than the national rate at 3.1%. Read more about this story at New York State of Politics.
Noah Eckstein reports for Columbia Green Media that the Hudson Zoning Board of Appeals has approved plans to convert the former Terry Gillett Mansion on Union Street into a 30-room boutique hotel, cafe, and lounge. In March, five members of the ZBA voted unanimously to grant a zoning use variance to Montecito Venture Partners, an investment group focused on real estate development and hospitality. The area of Hudson where the building is located is considered a residential area, but because the hotel has its own on-site parking and received minimal complaints from neighbors, the ZBA approved the variance. The mansion building was constructed between 1850 and 1865, and it sold in the last century to the Hudson Elks Lodge around 1935. Quote, I think all in all, this is good for Hudson, unquote, Zoning Board of Appeals Chair Lisa Keneally said. Quote, tourists have no place to stay on weekends. The company is very community friendly. They were open to hearing ideas and didn't want to change Hudson, unquote. California-based Montecito Venture Partners owns Casa Cody, the oldest operating hotel in Palm Springs, California, Silver Lake Church in Los Angeles, California, and Hotel Willia in Taos, New Mexico. Quote, 601 Union should make a fine hotel with ample parking already on site and only one residential neighbor, unquote, Common Council President Thomas DiPietro said. Note, DiPietro is an active WGXC on-air volunteer. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com.
Mid-Hudson News reports that the State Department of Health announced another 1,474 people in the Hudson Valley Catskill region tested positive for COVID-19 on May 18th. That announcement included another death in Westchester County. Columbia County added 33 new cases, and Greene County added 26 more. The entire area is considered at high risk of COVID-19 spread, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. That means wearing masks indoors is recommended so that more people do not catch the virus and so there will be fewer deaths in the future to report. Read more about this story at Mid-Hudson News.
Lauren Stanforth is reporting for the Times Union that on May 20th, the State Department of Health released information on two possible cases of monkeypox under investigation in New York City. The U.S. reported its first confirmed case in Massachusetts resident 2 days before. The state is awaiting official confirmation from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and is contact tracing for the case. Monkeypox is similar to smallpox in that it causes lesions all over the body and can lead to serious illness. 1 in 10 people who contracted it in Africa died, according to the CDC. This particular pox virus was first discovered in the late 1950s in African lab monkeys. The first human case was found in 1970. Monkeypox was first reported outside of Africa in 2003. The CDC said it is tracking multiple clusters of monkeypox that have been reported in early to mid-May in several countries that do not normally report monkeypox, including in Europe. Quote, based on the limited information available at this time, the risk to the general public appears low, unquote, the state health department said when asked if monkeypox is something to worry about. It is considered a rare virus, and while it can spread through respiratory droplets, contracting it demands very close contact with an infected person for an extended period of time. Read more about this story in the Times Union.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre with the WGXC Renewable Weather. Things look good for local solar panels this week with lots of sun, but not much wind for local windmills. Monday, the National Weather Service in Albany predicts a mostly sunny day with a high of just 67 and a north wind 7 to 9 miles per hour. Monday night, mostly cloudy is the forecast with a low around 45 and a north wind 6 miles per hour. Tuesday should be mostly sunny again with a high of 67 and a wind from the southeast around 6 miles per hour in the afternoon. Tuesday night, mostly cloudy again is the forecast with a low around 49 and a south wind 3 to 6 miles per hour. Wednesday, there's a 20% chance of showers before 11 a.m. and then a slight chance after 2 p.m. Otherwise, it'll be partly sunny with a high of 69 and a low around 50. You're listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM, solar-powered community radio for open ears. Monday, May 23rd, tune in to all sorts of creative community voices on the air at WGXC, including at 9 a.m. on the WGXC Morning Show. We'll hear from Elena Sianko, the executive and artistic director at PS21 in Chatham, about what they are up to this summer. At 10 a.m., tune in the Afrosonic Taxi with Echoes of the Congo. At 11 a.m., Brendan Donegan is playing favorites with David Byrne live from the WGXC Hudson studio in the basement of the First Presbyterian Church on Warren Street. At noon, after the local news, the Deep Three show listens to Jean LaPouge, Nora Lorway, and Holly Herndon, among others. There's new music at 2 p.m. on the Vital Weekly show from Alexandra Grimal, Luca Forminente, and Alessandro Incorvia. At 3 p.m., the Tracking the Odds show features Jessica Pavone. And then at 4 p.m., we're live from Housatonic and Kieran Riley with the WGXC Afternoon Show on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM.
To get a local event mentioned on All Together Now, go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page. And copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
Monday, May 30th is Memorial Day, and Porcupine Soup rounds up where there are events for the holiday in Greene County. Wyndham has a memorial program at 9 a.m. Friday, May 27th, starting at the Wyndham Ashland Jewett Central School front bus loop, then heading to the Ashland Cemetery, Wyndham Cemetery, and Hensonville Monument near the town hall. On Memorial Day itself, there are events in Athens, Greenville, Cairo, New Baltimore, Coxsackie, and Plattsville. In Athens, a parade starts at 9 a.m. on May 30th at Wheat Street, Route 385, with stops at the Triangle to lay wreath, and then proceeds up Franklin Street to TGM American Legion Post 187 with speakers and refreshments. Greenville's parade begins at 10:15 a.m. at St. John's Church, then heads down State Route 81 into the hamlet with a memorial service following the parade at Greenville Veterans Park Gazebo. Cairo's parade steps off at 11 a.m. near Schindler's Auto Shop on Main Street and heads to Angelo Cana Town Park with a memorial service with American Legion Mohican Post 983. There is also a Memorial Day ceremony at 11 a.m. at the Coyman's Hollow Fire Department, 1290 Route 143. Coxsackie's parade begins at 1 p.m. on Apple Blossom Lane and proceeds down Mansion Street with stops at the World War II Monument, the Mansion Street Cemetery, and the World War I Monument at the church corners before ending at Village Hall. And Prattsville's Virgil E. Deo American Legion Post 1327 hosts an annual Memorial Day parade at 1 p.m. with a Memorial Day ceremony to follow at the town green.
The sun is a mass of incandescent gas, a gigantic nuclear furnace, where hydrogen is built into helium at a temperature of millions of degrees.
Oh, Helios. Oh, yellow star. Oh, glowing sphere. Gleaming beacon. Brilliant flaming orb. Giver of light, warmth, and radio. Yes, it's true. WGXC's brand new solar panels are installed and ready for deployment, where they'll be calling on the free and plentiful rays of the sun to bring our station close to full sustainability.
To make WGXC a solar-powered radio station.
We are going solar, and WGXC will be a solar-powered community radio station, getting our power from the sun rather than foreign despots.
WGXC loves the sun, and we're going to love it even more now that WGXC is going solar.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Monday, May 23rd. 39.1% of the way through the year, we have 29 days left until summer. Early morning temperatures range from 49 in Wyndham to 58 in Rhinebeck. It's going to be a little extra tough getting out of that warm and comfy bed. Soil temperature is 60 degrees with optimal growth conditions present. A lazy high pressure system is going to hang out, making the next couple days very pleasant. Today, moderate cloud cover, high of 71 happening at 4 p.m. A breeze will make it feel a little cool. Overnight temperatures fall to 49 degrees, then bounce back up to 72 tomorrow afternoon. Tuesday night, 51 degrees, then a Wednesday with a high of 73 and overnight chances of rain returning to the area. Pollen levels will be high today and stay there at least till Wednesday. Today's tide schedule is low tide at 4:23 a.m., high tide at 10:07 a.m., low tide again at 5:01 p.m., and high tide once again at 10:53 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 68 degrees. Sunset today will be at 8:01 p.m., and sunrise tomorrow will be at 5:24 a.m. Looking way up, we see the sun stabilizing for a moment with only a 5% chance of X-class flares today. Solar wind speed is currently 513 kilometers per second at 7.8 protons per million. Radio propagation conditions are currently fair below 4 megahertz till dark, then fair across the board overnight. The 24-hour predicted KP index is green, quiet. The current sunspot number is 138. And this has been the Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Neil Verma of Chicago, Illinois. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. Become a WGXC sustaining supporter today. Go to WGXC.org and click donate. Thank you for your support. Hi, this is Anya.
And this is Peter.
And we host a show called Rock and Roll High School.
On WGXC, first Monday of the month.
8 to 10 p.m. Tune in. Ooh.
Oh, we did it at the same time.
Yeah. Fun, fun, rock and roll high school. Fun, fun, rock and roll high school. Fun, fun, rock and roll high school. Fun, fun, oh baby. Fun, fun, oh baby. Fun, 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 fun. Rock, 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 rock and roll high school. Rock, 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 rock and roll high school. Rock, 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 rock and roll high school. Rock, 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 rock and roll high school.
Hello. Hello, Mr. Taylor.
What do you want?
Turn on the radio.
I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you.
You're being grotesque.
The radio, remember? Make it work.
Radio. It tends to induce.
Got time. Slows down. Now it's pretty late.
Why don't you switch on the radio?
I refuse to discuss it any further.
Oh, please, you must.
Please don't treat me like a mental patient.
Do you believe that? Not for a second. Do you realize what this means?
Don't look for it, Taylor. That's the radio.
Thank you, Mr. Taylor.
And suddenly...
Oh, beautiful for smoggy skies, insecticided grain, for strip-mined mountains majesty above the asphalt plain. America, America, man sheds his waste on thee and hides the pines with billboard signs from sea to oily sea.
Welcome to 2022 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
This is an important step, but it is by no means the only step that must take place.
Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack welcomed a cargo plane carrying 35 tons of specialty infant formula to Indianapolis Sunday. Other Operation Fly formula shipments will arrive this week to address the nationwide shortage. Several babies have been hospitalized after drinking substitutes or homemade versions. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky is warning of an impending world food crisis as Russia blocks key ports. Before the invasion, the two countries accounted for 30% of global wheat exports, as well as much of the world's fertilizer. Zelensky's comments echo those of food supply expert Sarah Menker, who told the UN the world wheat supply is only enough to meet a fifth of global demand.
A level not seen since the financial and commodity crisis of 2007 and 2008. We currently only have 10 weeks of global consumption sitting in inventory around the world.
In Japan today, President Joe Biden will discuss expansion of that country's forces in response to China's growing military. He'll also meet with leaders of India and Australia on the second leg of his Eastern Asian trip. Before boarding Air Force One on Sunday, Biden commented on the outbreak of monkeypox in the U.S. and abroad.
It is something that everybody should be concerned about.
One case was confirmed in Massachusetts, and the CDC is monitoring six people who sat near an infected passenger on an international flight. Monkeypox infections have also been spotted in Canada, Britain, and Italy. A New York Times analysis found that 44% of Republican lawmakers in battleground states supported former President Donald Trump's unverified claims of election fraud. It also found almost a quarter of GOP lawmakers in those states tried to delay or overturn the 2020 vote count. Democratic primary results for a U.S. House seat are being slowed by blurry ballot barcodes that counting machines can't read. That's slowing the tally of up to 60,000 votes in Oregon's 5th District contest. A new poll says more than half of Americans favor the continued use of Title 42 to expel migrants from the border. A federal judge has temporarily stopped the White House from ending the public health order. Senator Ted Cruz of Texas is warning the administration's move would increase illegal immigration.
This is extreme, it's radical, it's dangerous, and it's unnecessary. The open border policies of this administration are a disaster.
Democratic Washington Congresswoman Pramila Jayapal argues the order should never have been used.
Title 42 became an overt national immigration and border security strategy that essentially overturned current immigration law and takes away the legal rights enshrined in domestic and international law that migrants have to seek safety and asylum here in the United States.
I'm Mary Sherman for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our A-Trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
This is Tom Rowe from Wave Farm with the Daily Radio News. In the analog era of broadcasting, television stations transmitting on Channel 6 could also be heard on 87.7 FM. WRGB-TV in Albany, for instance, used to be heard on both Channel 6 television and 87.7 FM on radio receivers that could be tuned below 88. But since the full-power television stations switched to digital broadcast, now all that is heard on FM there is static. July 2021, all of the remaining analog low-power television stations, except 13, were required to convert to digital. That means there is just static on the dial or pirate radio stations on 87.7 FM around the country, except for 13 stations. That could change. The broadcast law blog reports that the Federal Communications Commission has issued a draft notice of proposed rulemaking for its June 8th open meeting on a proposal to authorize low-power television stations operating on Channel 6 to continue to provide an analog audio stream on FM radios at 87.7. The broadcast industry calls these stations Franken-FM since they are both television and radio stations. More importantly, the FCC proposal also asks for comments about whether, with the elimination of most Channel 6 television stations broadcasting audio on 87.7, the frequencies 82 through 88 megahertz could be used for more radio stations in geographic areas where it is not currently used for TV services. So, in Albany, where you could once hear the audio from the Channel 6 TV station, a new FM radio station could possibly be broadcasting in a few years. Go to wavefarm.org for more radio news.
Here's 2022 new music from the Baltimore-based duo Matmos. The album is called Regards, Oklani Della Bogoslaw Schaefer, and this song is Few Far Chaos Bugles from Matmos on WGXC. Thank you.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
We're walking on these back fields, which is littered with these blooming trees, and we have a great view over to the Catskills, right?
That's right. And so you see it's this 100 acres that is a former apple farm. And that's where PS21 is. It's kind of an interesting concept where you have this state-of-the-art theater and then in the middle of gorgeous fields and meadows and apple orchards. So it's kind of heaven. You know, we want to keep it wild, and at the same time our campus and trails are open to the entire community, and anybody can come in at any part of the day and take a hike. Bring a dog for a walk, a significant other.
Could you please introduce yourself?
I am Yelena Siyanko, Executive and Artistic Director of PS21, Performance Spaces for the 21st Century in Chatham, New York.
So what is PS21?
PS21, Performance Spaces for the 21st Century. The theater was completed in 2018. We kind of launched during the pandemic, I would say, and it's two stages. One is an open-air pavilion theater, which allowed us to be open even during the pandemic, where our audiences could be comfortable, but we also used all of our landscape as a platform and for connection between audiences, nature, and the arts. So we staged productions not just in the theater, but also using our trails and meadows. And that, especially during the pandemic, was very important to connect people to each other, to themselves, to their bodies, use our trails to encourage walking, being in nature, in the sunshine. And I think that kind of way of connecting people and embracing people of all walks of life is really part of our mission. For that, we formed a special initiative called Pathways, Blazing Trails for a Sustainable Future. Pathways is both literal pathways that you and I are walking on right now, but also pathways philosophically, pathways to each other, to our bodies, ourselves. And it's not just a parallel opportunistic initiative for community engagement where, let's say, a company of dance company comes and then they have time and they do something for the community, but we really are developing a parallel stream of programming for year-round residents. The kind of programming, just to give you an example, it can be ecology walks, but also specific productions, and in particular, International Contemporary Circus, which we think is one of the most interesting democratic forms of connecting people. We also present most of our Pathways programs free of charge or at low cost.
So it sounds like this programming is as a way to make the arts more accessible for people, so that it's not just you come and sit and you watch a performance that somebody else is doing, but you're actually able to interact and maybe have those tools transferred, that knowledge transferred, and as a way to just engage people rather than have it just a showcase.
Absolutely. And it's not just about free or accessible tickets, kind of thinking we are going to create it and you come, but it's also taking productions to where people are, but as importantly, inventing and staging productions that involve participatory or immersive component. Just like this year, we are bringing a very interesting participatory theater installation from France, designed by a South Korean artist who lives in Marseille. He was inspired by protests, street protests in Seoul, when conceiving of this production. And it cannot happen without the audience participation. So that is one of the aspects of the kind of Pathways programming that we are also very interested in, so that the audience is also engaged as protagonists, as participants, and not just as passive observers.
In the blurb for your programming, it states that you're reaching out to farmers and local people, brewers, all these kind of local people. What is your outreach strategy?
You are probably referring to one of the Pathways programs called Middle Ground, and that's connected to our presentation debut in the United States and North American premiere of Reincarnation by Q-Dance and Kudus Anikeko. It's a company from Lagos, Nigeria. Middle Ground, it's kind of this African hang, an all-embracing shout-out of where all community members participate. So the idea is that culture is not created by famous choreographers or museum directors or, you know, or important people in the community, but culture is created by everybody. And we conceived of this kind of outreach where we hope for the different community members become protagonists. A few years ago in 2020, when we developed a film series called Firefighters Select, when we invited different firefighting squads to contribute to curate one film for each of those series. So our outreach strategy was that we just reached out directly to people in the community, and the same stands for Middle Ground. We wrote to electricians, car mechanics, we knew bakers, farmers in the area, religious leaders, community leaders, also Alima Cuisine, the wonderful West African cuisine chef, who is also going to be taking part in Middle Ground. So it's really, there is no strategy behind it. It's really trying to reach the community directly. And it's really the community that creates life here in Columbia County. I mean, we interact with them. We shop. We eat we eat the food together. And so they are all part of this incredibly important ecosystem of life and who we are in Columbia County.
So let's talk about that programming coming up. You have a lot of really interesting things coming. What should listeners know?
Well, Pathways is a huge kind of initiative for free and low-cost programming throughout the summer. And then in parallel, there are also performances on stage. And this summer in particular, we have 7 international productions coming. I already mentioned one from Nigeria, Lagos, which we will open our season on June 3 and 4. And then right now, and we'll go to the dance barn and the artist house to see where our South Korean team from 2 theaters from Seoul is staying. Currently, they're developing a new work, which will be premiered. It's a world premiere. It will be shown next weekend. So there is a production from South Korea. There is what we call the Global Dance Series, where it's not just companies from places like Nigeria, but there is one company from Israel, two companies from France, one from South Africa. There is also Global Music with Haitian band Vox Sambu, and then Dacha Bracha, a Ukrainian ethno-punk band. A lot of our programming, because of this marvelous landscape and our obsession with the crisis of Anthropocene and where we are on the planet, is very much also focused on the work that is related to the land, our relationship to the land, the extinction even, which is what Femme Fatale with Philippe Ken from France is about. And so that's the film The Earth. Also, we thought it would be a perfect component of our pathways, kind of unfolding dramaturgies of the Anthropocene. We put a tagline on this.
Many people don't feel welcome in art spaces. Why do you think that PS21 is different?
You are so right about this, and I want to say that we aspire to make PS21 welcoming and open to all, and I don't feel like we are there yet, and I feel that strongly that it's probably just this vector in society which discourages arts participation, because if you look at in this glorious Hudson Valley in the Berkshires, the ticket prices are so expensive to festivals all around us. You know, Tanglewood, Jacob's Pillow. I mean, there are, of course, more affordable productions, but not the productions on stage that you know, the kind of more complicated, if you will, dance performances. And that's, to me, a real deterrent, the ticket prices, so that people of your age can't afford to come. People who have young families in their 30s and their 40s, they cannot afford to buy tickets to performances. And I think by keeping prices low, as we did last year, and then during the pandemic, we were able to build a much younger audience.
So for listeners who are interested in visiting PS21, how can they get more information, and what would you like to leave them with?
Well, first of all, our website, ps21chatham.org, that's one source. I think first they should just come and hike our trails, that's what I would say. And then if they stumble upon things that they might be interested in, we have posters in our theater. They can look at the website and maybe they can come back. But I probably would want to wish everybody to stay well and healthy in this still time of the pandemic and connect to each other. And I think arts is a way of being together, creating the community. And we should not forget that. It's kind of a good way of spending quality time together with each other and also meeting new people.
Thank you so much, Elena Sianko, for joining me.
Thank you, Sina. It was great fun.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
Here is 2022 new music from Ghost Power from their named after themselves album. This is called Panic in the Isles of Splendor. That was 2022 new music from Lucretia Dalt. The song was called Mariturna, and it's from the Baby soundtrack. That's a HBO Max TV show with Lucretia Dalt there with the music on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM.